last week from Pakistan. He's the professor of a seminary in Lahore. And he said the greatest thing that he ever discovered in the work of mission was prayer. He found that that was the greatest thing that he had at his disposal was to pray. And it was the most important thing, he said, that he used in the work of mission was to pray. Wherever he went with people, he said at times there was maybe bombs in the city, but our seminary stayed open. And we always, always would say to people, we want to pray with you. And wherever we went, we prayed with people. And on the street with people, even in Pakistan, praying with people as Christians. So it's important to pray. We know that. But I think we really forget at times that it's important. We say, yes, it's important, but we forget that it's important. And we try at times not to rely on God, but we try to rely on ourselves. So the prayer that Jesus teaches us is telling us again, it's encouraging us to pray. And it's encouraging us to realize that we have a relationship with God, because we call him our Father and we are his children. So that's different from everything else. Other religions, they don't want to think like that. You know, I'm going back to the mission hall, and there are Muslims sleeping in the mission hall because they don't have anywhere to sleep. So I have to go back and later tonight let them in, and they'll sleep there, and then tomorrow we let them go back and they'll stay with their friends, and then they'll come back in the evening to sleep because they're homeless. But they'll come only after they've prayed. And this is a special time for them to pray. And they'll pray until 12:30 at night, tonight, and they'll all gather in the mosque. But they're lost. And they have no relationship with God. The idea that they would call God their Father or believe that he could be their Father, it's just an anathema to them. They would never, ever think like that. They don't want to think like that. They're afraid to think like that. They don't want to say that they think God is far away from them. He's not close to them. He's not near them. He's far away. They're fasting from sunrise to sunset in the longest days of the year to somehow please him, to somehow get close to him. And yet, when they finish the fast and I'm with them, they're as far away as ever. Only the Christian has this relationship whereby we can call God our Father. So even though it's a Sunday evening in a hockle, and that maybe means that only the Christians are out tonight, you have to ask yourself, do I have a relationship with God? Do I have a relationship with God? Is God my Father? Am I his child? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. Not are you religious? Not are you someone who goes to church or someone who prays? Because lots of people do these things and believe in these things, but they don't have a relationship with God. God's their creator, but he's not their Father, because it's only through Jesus Christ that we can call God our Father. Do you have that relationship? Maybe you're someone who's fooled everyone into thinking that you have that relationship. How many stories have we heard about people in churches who have come to church and seem to know and love the Lord, and yet they come to a time when they admit, I was bluffing everyone. I was fooling everyone. didn't really have a relationship with God. It was all on the outside. I didn't have this experience. Can you call God your Father? Are you His child? Are you in a relationship with Him? Have you been brought into the family of God through Jesus Christ? That's a really important question. We need to keep asking people out there that question. We need to keep sharing that message with people. Even if you are a Christian, we need to keep telling people and keep explaining to people what it is to know God, to be in a relationship with God. We can't take it for granted that everyone knows. We can't expect everyone out there to know what we know. So even if you're a Christian, it's still important to be reminded of that. You have to tell people they need a relationship with God. You know, the things that people say to you are, you have to just say, nothing's going to shock me anymore. The things that people say about knowing God and how to know God, you could write a book of ideas that people have. Well, one man, I stopped him in the street. You know what he said? God's black and he's a Rastafarian. I said, well, how'd you work that out? He said, I just think that. That's what I think. He said, so if I do the things that a Rastafarian do, I'll even become like God, he said. I said, you're crazy. You're crazy. That's not what the Bible says. So people have all these ideas. Even if you're a Christian tonight, you think, why am I hearing about having a relationship with God? It's important that you tell people. It's important that you witness to people. It doesn't matter if they think you're crazy or a religious nutcase. That's not important. You know, sometimes your pride and my pride stop us talking about Jesus, even when we have opportunities. We need to remind the world, remind people that we meet, that we need a relationship with God. And it comes through Jesus Christ. So here's another question. If you're a Christian, when was the last time you reminded anybody of that? Or told anybody about that? That's a good question, isn't it? That's a good question for us to ask ourselves. Am I telling people? Am I talking to people? Am I praying and asking God for opportunities to tell people of their need of Jesus Christ? Look, I always say to people, no matter where you go, out there, they're not knocking the doors down to get in. They're not doing that. You might have a crowd here at times, but they're not banging the doors down to get into churches. That's not happening. We need to go out there. And our wee country is just as much in need of the gospel as anywhere else in the world. Our wee country has thousands and thousands of people in it who are lost and perishing. No matter where you go, you'll meet them. And they have no relationship with God. And they don't know how to have a relationship with God at times, many of them. And that's our responsibility, to tell them that you can call God your Father and that you can pray to Him. And that you can speak to Him. The Muslims, they're praying lots of different times during the day. And I always say to them, you know, it doesn't seem right. You can only talk to God at certain times. It's not real relationship, is it? It's not really a relationship. You can only speak at certain times to God. And those times are determined and you can't go outside of them. Doesn't seem like a good relationship. My son, he talks all the time, morning, noon, and night. And he asks questions you could never know the answer to. And sometimes I have to tell him, stop talking, please. He'd ask you a question like, Daddy, what's outside the universe? I say, son, how would I know that? I could never know that. And what's a bigger number than infinity? And all these questions. He's only 7 and he's asking me questions I've never even heard about. But he loves to talk to me. And I don't want to put him off talking. Sometimes when you're driving, he would put you off driving, talking. But I don't want to put him off talking to me. Because he wants to do that. And he wants to do it all the time. Do we want to talk to God, our Father, all the time? Do we want to do that, really? Are you someone who talks to God all the time, prays to God, speaks to God? Jesus is encouraging us to do that. He's telling us we can call God our Father. There's nothing between us now. That wall of separation's broken down. Jesus has done that, and we can come right to the throne of grace. Not the throne of judgment or condemnation, the throne of grace, and we can meet with him there. And like the hymn says, make all our wants and wishes known. Are you doing that? It tells us in the prayer that God's above everything. He's in heaven. He's exalted. He's powerful. More powerful than you and me. Here's the problem why we don't pray enough, I think. We're too reliant on ourselves. That's what's wrong. We're too much depending on ourselves for lots and lots of things. And that's why we're not praying as much as we should pray. I just keep thinking, Hannah's here, and Hannah is going out with the guys to Kenya. And, you know, half of me saying, maybe I shouldn't let her go. Maybe I should find a way to stop her going. And the reason why I'm thinking like that is because I want to be the one to take care of her. And I want to make sure she's safe. And I don't want anything to happen to her. And I want to make sure that everything is covered so that nothing does happen to her. You do that, don't you, if you're a parent? You do that. You want to make sure that nothing at all can happen to your child. You're relying on yourself to take care of them. And she's going to go to a place I don't know, with people I don't know, and she's going to face lots of things that I don't know about. And I can get her the injections, and that'll maybe protect her up to a point, but all the other things that could happen, I have no control over. Who can I trust to take care of her? I can trust those who have been before up to a point, but they're frail and feeble just like me. They can make a mistake. Something can happen to them. We can't cover every eventuality. But the problem is, lots of times we organize our lives so that we don't have to trust in God. We can trust in ourselves. We don't go further than we should, than we could, so that we can rely on ourselves. Who can I trust to take care of her? Only God. I can't trust anyone else. I definitely can't trust her to take care of herself. I know that. Only God. But lots of times we're relying on ourselves. We think that we're exalted, that we're more in control than God is. Maybe you're living like that. Perhaps you're living like that today. You have everything in your life organized, and it's all under your control. Something will happen. It always happens in our lives. Things happen that we don't have any control over. And they told you that we used to take Hannah to her granny's every day, And I went to work, and my wife went to work, and she took care of her. And then when Sam came along, we just did the same thing. Every day, same time, same routine. Never even thought about it. One day we went, no answer. And they had to break the door down, and the woman had taken a massive stroke. And all that planning, everything under our control, but something always happens, and then you realize you're not really in control. You're not in control. I'm not in control. We're not on the throne. We're not organizing everything and planning everything. It's God who's in control. Are you trusting in God? Are you relying on God? Are you dependent on God? That's what Jesus is encouraging us to do in the prayer. Thy kingdom come, he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, there's a plan that God has that you and I don't know anything about, but we'll find out about it only as it unfolds. But he already knows everything because he's planned everything. That's what that phrase means. Not you. You didn't plan it. Not me. I didn't plan it. God, he planned it. And we find out what his plan is as it's revealed, as it unfolds in history and in your life. Then that's how you find out. But you don't know beforehand. But we think we know. We act as if we think we know. We're planning tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day. We're doing that. I say to people, my plan is never have a plan. That's my plan. Because you don't really know what's going to happen. So someone will say, they'll send some from the college or a student will come along and they say, what are we going to do tomorrow? I say, I don't know. Do you know what you're going to do? I don't really know what I'm going to do. But I'm going to go and be in the place where God wants me to be and see what he does. That's what I'm going to do. And see who he brings across my path. And see who I can meet. That's what I'm going to do. But all the other things, I'm not really sure about. But lots of people have their whole lives organized. And they've left God outside of that plan. Have you done that? You need to come back to God. Draw near again to God. Come close to God and pray to him and acknowledge who he is and his power and authority and his sovereignty. And ask him to help you and to use you. Christian, are you being used by God? That's another important question. It says, doesn't it? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us today. Today. Today's the day you should think about. Not tomorrow, the next day, the next day. Today. There's lots of people I meet, and that's the way they're living. Some of them are Christians living in our city, come from another country to get away from trouble, persecution. And they're living just today because they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The little hall be full of people like that tonight who don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, who don't have money for tomorrow, who don't have food for tomorrow. Lots of people like that. One wee fella, he comes along to the meeting and he doesn't know where he's going to sleep in the night. God helps him. And he believes in God and he trusts in God. Maybe you don't have that kind of life, and maybe that's why it doesn't seem as real to you, as important to you, to think like this. They have a saying in the city, don't they? For the same in community. It's about homelessness. It says something like you're only 4 weeks' pay away from being homeless. In other words, if you lose your job, you could lose your house, and then you'd be homeless on the streets. That's what's really trying to get people to think how fragile their experience is, their existence is. We need to realize that even more and rely on God and trust in God and depend on God. Isn't it amazing that the men are going to pray then tonight to 12:30 and then they're kicked out of the mosque and they come to the city mission for somewhere to sleep. I'm encouraged by that. I feel helped by God because of that. An opportunity to talk to them, to show them that this is about a relationship with God. It's not about religion. And that God loves them and cares about them. And that they can depend on Him, really depend on Him. In the little prayer that Jesus teaches us, something really important, something that I do think about a lot, forgiveness. And it talks about forgiveness in those terms, not to hold things against other people when you yourself have been forgiven. That's really what it's talking about. And I have an expanded Bible there, and it talks about holding resentment against people, being resentful to people. And that's what I see. We see all these Muslims who come along to us. They pray and they're religious, but they are resentful. And they can hate each other and be spiteful against each other and plan and plot against each other. And they don't feel any contradiction in their religion to do that. So they don't. But real forgiveness, Jesus describes it to us there. Forgive us our debts as we have been forgiven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's what he talks about. Don't be holding things against people. You want forgiveness? Then forgive completely, totally. It's like a fellow I went to hear preaching one time, and when I was just converted, and I used to go to meetings everywhere to hear people preaching, see if they're any good. And I heard this fella preaching, you know, he's a young fella, younger than me. He said, you know what's wrong with this country? He said, there's no justice in this country. What we need in this country, he said, is justice. I didn't really know much as a Christian, but common sense, I was thinking, that doesn't sound right. That's what's wrong with the country. If we all get justice, we'll all be in trouble. If we get justice from the hand of God, we'll all be in hell. That's where we'll be. That's not what's wrong with the country. What we need is mercy, forgiveness. That's what we need. If we get justice, we'll all be damned. Because the wages of sin is death. It doesn't matter whether it's one sin, 1,000 sin, 100,000 sins, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a small sin, a big sin, it doesn't matter. The wages of sin is death. And we all deserve it. But we don't get what we deserve, we get what we don't deserve. But lots of times, I can tell you, Christians, sometimes they're just as bad as everybody else. They want mercy for themselves, judgment for everybody else. That's what they want. My mother was a wee Belfast woman. She wasn't converted until she was really very, very ill. And she used to sit in front of the TV and she used to shout at the TV when people came on that she didn't like. And she's from the Shankill Road, Wilton Street, so you can guess who she didn't like. And look at him, and oh, look at the face in that one. And that's the way she talked, you know. oh, look at him. You think he was chewing a caramel and all this stuff, you know. And she's really, like, bitter, you know, against people. But every night she would go into the bathroom. And when we were small, we used to hear her talking. We used to wonder what she was doing. And as you grow, you find out that she's praying. She had 9 children, and she's praying, going through everybody, praying for them, in between smoking and blowing out the window. What's a people like that? They want mercy for themselves, judgment for everybody else. And even Christians sometimes can be like that. Surely we want for people what we have. That's what we want. We want them to know Jesus Christ. This is the day of mercy. It's not the day of judgment. That day will come. But this is not that day. And this is talking about forgiveness. Is it the way to be and the attitude to have, not to be resentful. Don't be holding and harboring bitterness in your heart. And could I say the reason is the price of forgiveness. The cost of forgiveness. You know, I say to them, there's people fasting for a month. I say to them, that is the cheapest forgiveness I have ever seen. That's the cheapest. You don't have to eat anything during the hours of sunlight for a month and you get forgiven. That's the cheapest type of forgiveness I've ever come across. This is the price of forgiveness. The death of Jesus Christ. That's the price of forgiveness. How could we hold anything in our hearts against people when you consider the price of forgiveness? And look, people are annoying you and me all the time. I'm sure even today people have done something on you and it's annoyed you. But the price of forgiveness, it's the death of Jesus Christ. That's why we shouldn't take it lightly. That's why it's important. That's why we should want it for other people. That's why when we have received it, we should be thankful for what he has done for us. And never forget that. And don't be like my wee mother at times, ranting and raving at a TV screen. Because bitterness in her heart. Thank God he saved her when she was near the end of her life. But if you're converted now, you have this amazing experience of knowing Jesus Christ and being able to tell people about Jesus Christ and witness for Jesus Christ. And maybe even opportunities to show mercy to people and forgiveness to people. And show the grace of God to people. Are you doing that? It's not for special seasons. To act like this is, and to pray like this, it's not for special times. It's for our lives day by day. I want to encourage you to pray. If a man who's working in Pakistan, a really, really dangerous place for Christians, feels that the greatest tool that he had at his disposal in the work of mission was to pray, then that should help us to realize that we can use that as well. We're not in a difficult situation like that. We have opportunities, but we need to pray just as much. People are just as lost. People are perishing just the same. All around you. All around you, people are perishing. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to pray? Are you going to commit yourself to pray? Could I encourage you to commit yourself to pray? There's nothing to stop you. You know, the devil's great, isn't he, at doing things like he'd say, what are you doing that for? People think you're Holy Joe. Sure, you don't go to the prayer meeting. Sure, you don't talk about praying. They'll think you're a hypocrite if you start doing that. And so you leave it off, you listen to him and you don't do it. And then when you don't do it, you know what he says? You're some Christian. You can't even bother praying. He always has the accusation. He's the accuser of the brethren. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want me to pray. If you're young, he'll tell you, look, that's for old people. You've got strength and you've got ability. It's the old people who go to pray. It's not you. You're the person of action. You don't need to pray. You're the one who gets things done. Leave the praying to those old people. And so young people, don't they to think, well, let someone else pray. Lots and lots of reasons people can find them not to pray. Could I encourage you to commit yourself to pray and to pray for yourselves, pray for your families, pray for the church, pray for the people in this little country, pray for the world, and do what Jesus says. Come to your Father and say, Our Father. We're going to sing.